from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Sunday, Caleb Williams begins his glory days. Caleb Williams is on the verge of owning this town if he is as successful as a lot of people feel like he can be.
Yeah, I have the Bears winning the game as well. And, you know, I think everyone in town does, which gives me pause.
Pressure coming. Levis throws it. What a catch! It is Chigo Conquo with a twisting, falling grab for the touchdown.
Let the Boo Birds come out from Chicago.
17-3 halftime advantage for Will Levis, Brian Callahan, and the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, no! We suck again!
We got this!
Yeah.
We got this!
Yeah, we know who we are,
fellas. Bears, the defense gets its takeaways, and they start 1-0.
Stonehouse with pressure! Chicago! Here they come. Gordon's coming. Levis gets wrapped up. Flings it ahead. It's picked off. Tyreek Stevenson will give the Bears the lead on another defensive play. Levis off the back foot. Floats it up for Boyd. It is picked off. Jalen Johnson seals the deal. And the defense wins the day for Chicago.
We're going to finish hard. We're going to finish fast. Yeah, they had us the first half. I'm not going to lie. They had us. We weren't defeated, but they had us. But it took guts. It took an attitude. That's all it takes.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Happy Bears Monday.
Bears.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Woohoo! Bears winter opener, Mr. David. And really, there's a lot to talk about, but the headline is a victory. Let's take it and run like a thief in the night.
Morning, Mully. Yes, it is a happy Monday in Chicago. The Bears are undefeated, and it was the beginning of a new era. Absolutely, we said it all week, the beginning of a new era, but it looked like something very old and familiar. That is the way the Bears won the last time they were very good. They did it with their defense and their special teams and a quarterback that they carried across the finish line.
You said, you wrote a flashback to 2006, and I got to tell you, that is, believe it or not, the last time a Bears quarterback has thrown for less than 100 yards and the team still won a game. That happened with Rex Grossman.
So that's the good news and the bad news. The good news is that you have a defense and special teams that are good enough to produce all the points that you need. Yesterday, there was not an offensive touchdown. The bad news is the offense looked like it's really struggling right now, and you have a rookie quarterback that played the part. He'll get better. The offense will get better. Meanwhile, you feel very encouraged because that defense was ferocious in the second half. They made adjustments that mattered, and the special teams had the pivotal play. The blocked punt changed the air in the room. Everything about that stadium was uplifted. It was so deflating, Soldier Field, at the time. And then Daniel Hardy, of all people, blocks the punt.
Yep.
Jonathan Owens vaults across the finish line.
Oh, look at you.
Or the goal line. Scores a touchdown. Bears win. Lot to talk about, lot to digest. But the bottom line is when you play like that at times yesterday, as bad as the offense was, you pull out a victory, it's very encouraging.
Look, you know, we'll get into it and we'll talk about it and pick apart what went wrong with Caleb Williams, where the problems were. The Bears offensive line, a lot went wrong. We'll get into all of it. But the takeaway is that they won the battle in terms of turnovers. And the reality is that pick six is the game winner because the quarterback, instead of eating the ball, makes an awful play and tries to do something you can't do. Say whatever you want about the performance of the quarterback. The fact that they protected the ball on offense is really the reason they won the game. And I know it was close. I know there were times when you doubted that, but Mr. David, huge that they weren't the team with the incredibly insane pick six play at the end.
That's exactly
the game.
Right, Mully. You want to oversimplify it, but that's the right place to start. It was a microcosm of the game. You had one quarterback with Will Levis who tried too hard to make something happen and paid the price dearly. That was that pick six should never have left his hands. Take the sack, live to take another snap, and you don't fall behind. And the Titans would have been in that game in the fourth quarter. He doesn't. Tyrique Stevenson made him pay, 43 yards touchdown. Caleb Williams, meanwhile, he didn't help the Bears win necessarily, but he didn't get him beat. He did the minimum. He cleared the minimum bar. You didn't turn the ball over. What did we talk about coming in? Ball protection. And so he protects the football. He'll get better at the other stuff, but that Will Levis mistake cost them the game.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be the quarterback that says that at the end of the day. And so that defense created three fourth quarter takeaways. Three fourth quarter turnovers. If you have three in one day, it's a good day. Three in one quarter is unheard of.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, it was really, and you can speak to this more than I can, but watching the game, the crowd, the noise of the crowd, the reaction of the crowd, the level of excitement to begin the game, the level of disappointment at various spots in the game, the Boo Birds coming out early.
They were there.
They're there for sure.
They were there, and I understood it.
Yeah, I understood every reaction that was there and the disappointment people felt and the whole nine yards.
But this was really, you talk about ebbs and flows and ups and downs. So you had the fever pitch that Jim Corneliuson created. The anthem was spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those moments you were like revved up. And
he's
just
so good.
You feel fortunate to be at a place. And the Chicago sports scene, that was as good as it gets. So then, obviously, struggles the first half. The offense looks bad. Caleb Williams looks overrated. All the things that people were grousing about and eventually booing about.
Right.
And then the air comes out of the building because, you know, the Titans look like they were going to, you know, they took a 17-0 lead. It's very difficult at halftime. And then the blocked punt. Daniel Hardy blocked the punt and it's like somebody lit a match.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So then everybody starts going back and standing up and getting back into. So you felt that wave of momentum and enthusiasm. And then it leveled off a little bit. And then the fourth quarter, it was just a great atmosphere, electric at times. And I think people sense that when you play defense the way the Bears can play defense and the way they vowed and willed themselves back into that game defensively, that's exciting, and fans can get behind that. So it was a Bears victory. It was a vintage Bears victory. Didn't expect to win that way, but they'll take it.
Yeah, it is the kind of thing, you know, there's a statistic out there. We've talked about it before. When you score a touchdown off a blocked punt, it's like one of the highest win percentages out there. It's like 80%. It just represents domination. So it didn't stun. Once they got that play, you felt they were going to score again. But, honest to God, they needed the pick six because they weren't going to do it on offense.
They weren't going to do it on offense. I kind of glossed over the low point emotionally at the stadium on Sunday. And that was when Velus Jones kicked the ball around like he was playing for the Chicago Fire. If you're going to kick the ball at Soldier Field, it better be for a goal or be Mr. Santos kicking two field goals. Velus Jones booting that kickoff return.
Wow.
It made the emotions plummet at Soldier Field. And everybody was asking the same question. What is he still doing here?
Yeah, I was proud of Velus Jones.
Oh, no. No, he did not. He didn't. No. Listen, here's the thing. Like, Velus Jones, say whatever you want about him. And we watched Hard Knocks and we heard all that thing. And we heard the special teams coordinator stand there, Richard Hightower, and say he's a core four special teamer. But the reality is, you can say that all you want, but in one of those things, he's already fumbled so much as a punt returner that you can't use him. And in the first game of the season, he had to be benched as a kickoff returner because not only did he drop the ball, but he kicked it. David, as you well know, this is the new kickoff rules are one of the big stories of opening weekend. Everyone's looking at it. Everyone's doing stories about it. And everywhere I went in my travels, I saw DeAndre Carter returning the ball to the 30. Incredible. One of the big plays off kickoffs. And Velus Jones kicking the ball to the 30 so the other team could jump on it was shown just as much.
Because it was both extremes. You had one guy doing his job well and one guy losing his job, essentially. And DeAndre Carter should be the answer to that question, who returns kicks for the Bears. Velus Jones, when he made the roster, we had a lot of conversation. I could make the arguments when we made him at the time. Look, it's a very fluid thing, the roster management.
Sure.
Last week it made sense. This week it no longer does. Velus Jones kicked his way off the roster, in my view, because you can't take that chance again.
You can't trust him.
You can't trust him. You can be proud of him. He may have kept his head up. He may have gone back and had the resolve. You handed him the football again.
5 yards on a run. Way to go.
At your own risk.
If he had dropped that ball.
Oh, my gosh.
David.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
They would have been calling for everybody's job.
If someone offered you a fourth-round pick for him, you're insane that you didn't take it.
1 week later, comma.
Yeah. He's on the phone. Hey, remember that
fourth round pick you offered me? I'll take a five. I'll take a six. Yeah. Well, I'll pay for his cab fare. I just don't think you can. Here's the thing: you come out of yesterday feeling like the Bears are very good from in terms of their playoff legitimacy.
Yeah.
In terms of having the season that's going to be relevant, when you have a defense that special and special teams that are that serviceable, you figure offense is going to catch up. You can't mess around by giving guys opportunities. Nobody should be on scholarship here.
No one.
Velus Jones cannot derail what else is going right with the Bears. So one guy cannot be bigger than the program, and he can't be moving forward.
And the problem is that's an unforced error. That's the problem. There's no way to trust someone who in that moment can make a mistake that glaring that is also that damaging. You're down 7 points. You do that, you're down 10 points. I mean, goodness gracious, you can't have that happen.
You cannot. So they remedied that. If you put DeAndre Carter back there, I think you got pretty solid special teams.
Yep.
And luckily for the Bears and Richard Hightower, the special teams coordinator, the blocked punt carried the day.
Yeah.
It made not the fumble by Velus Jones a moot point because it led to 3 points in a game that, you know, that was looked like it was going to be one of the differences. But your special teams recovered. And
DeAndre Carter's return got you another field goal. Special teams scored 10 points in the game, and you won the game by 7. Just do the math.
Your offense needs some work. Your running game was too spotty. And I think that part of it is always a product of how much do you have the football. 53 snaps, it's hard to get an identity going. It's hard to get a lot of things going. Yep. Biggest concerns for me coming out of the Bears opener offensively, you might not be surprised. It's not necessarily Caleb Williams. I'm very concerned about the offensive line. That rotation at right guard, you had a center in Coleman Shelton that was way too noticeable. I wanted to just talk about how he snapped left-handed, not how he got used at the line of scrimmage. Your offensive line was a problem yesterday.
Okay, and I'm not going to argue that because I think that is the case, but you also have to be very aware of your opponent and what the strength of that team is. And we knew coming in that Jeffrey Simmons had done a lot of talking and didn't like the fingernail polish and all that stuff. I mean, he talked about it before the game. I think what we failed to talk about was DeAndre Sweat.
We did.
And that guy.
Never again.
Holy. I mean, I don't know what it's going to look like by the end of the year, but that guy was voted the best a defensive lineman in college football. He was a second-round pick. He's a rookie. Let me tell you something. The takeaway is whenever you get the chance, you draft a guy named Sweat.
That's a good takeaway.
Period, end of story.
That's a good takeaway.
Even guy's though, name is Sweat?
Yeah,
draft him.
Take
he's
him.
A defensive lineman.
Whatever
I'll take
the round.
Him.
First round, second round, whatever round. Montez Sweat wasn't as noticeable in the stat sheet, but as you pointed out before the show, and I'm sure on your post-game show, he got a lot of attention that benefited others. And when we talk about Daryl Taylor having 2 sacks instead of including a strip sack fumble that was huge.
The huge.
You
play.
Wonder what effect it had with Montez Sweat getting the attention that he has earned and the respect that every team will give him. What does that do for the opposite side? We spent all summer talking about the opposite rusher of Montez Sweat making impact. What happened in week one? The rusher opposite Montez Sweat made an impact.
Well, what's extraordinary is you make a trade and you bring that guy in. Like, you go through the whole summer, and then right before cuts, like literally at the end of these cuts, you make that trade, you bring in a guy, and it looks like they found a guy that can rush the passer on the other side. He's kind of a one-trick pony. By all accounts, that's an incredible trick he can perform.
Yes, you want to have that trick. If you can have one,
if that guy,
that's a good one.
What is it?
It's a
he's
good
on
one.
Pace for 34 yes. sacks?
I think you can do the math.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
That would be a record.
They had 30 last year.
He would set the record.
That's pretty
impressive.
I loved
Flus after the game when he was asked about Taylor. He had the answer that everybody watching the Bears wanted to hear. What is this guy about? Energy. Energy.
Yeah.
You want your pass rushers to be... They can't be the guy who are laid-back introverts. You want your pass rushers to play like their hair's on fire.
Yeah, see ball, get ball.
Yes.
I mean, that's you just want a guy.
He's been here 5 minutes.
He's been here, like, you're so right. I'm sure a lot of people can't spell his name.
Exactly.
Because it's been misspelled
well,
already.
He was tailor-made for the Bears defense, let's say that.
Well, he's it's well said, and you know, I think going back to the greatest concerns, which, of course, the interior of the offensive line was frightening. You got to remember that you're talking about a guy that is on a 1-year deal for $3.6 million. I think he's a 1.7 cap hit, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're the two guys that you're rotating have got to play better, especially Nate Davis, who would have been a guy that they knew pretty well. Played for Tennessee, and Simmons was ready for – he was talking about couldn't wait to play against him, that kind of thing.
So, I wonder, though, when you talk about Nate Davis,
we've
spent a lot of time talking about Nate Davis as a Bear and wondering about his psyche. And I have to wonder that when he is essentially a healthy scratch for every series he sits.
Yes.
What that does to his psyche, because this is a proud veteran paid, you know, a lot of big guarantee going against his former team. I know it's a little thing, but you can't imagine he's in the right state of mind when he's watching Ryan Bates play instead of him, and there's nothing wrong with him on the sidelines. That's not ideal moving forward. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't think you want a rotation at any position on the offensive line.
Didn't they do that last year? Didn't they rotate? I think they rotated somebody.
They started it when Tevin Jenkins came back, I believe.
And Lucas Patrick or something?
Maybe with the beginning of the season.
It was some weird rotation at the beginning of the year. I'm sure they'll get over that, but Bates was hurt for pretty much. So they're trying to work him in.
Are they trying to phase the other one out?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, if they are, then that's
an issue. So if you're Nate Davis, yeah, exactly.
That's
you should know, hey, they're trying to replace me. You know, if you're a starting offensive lineman, you don't go every other series.
No, you don't. You don't. So there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah,
what went right, what went wrong. I want to mention what happened to Soldier Field. It's kind of funny before we get on to some of the other things. So I have to share this elevator experience I had after the game.
Elevator, we got the shaft.
Yes, okay, this was funny. So, you know, the media elevator, the first one, everyone's rushing to get in the elevator, want to get down to the press room. I missed the first bus, essentially.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there waiting for the second elevator to come, and I feel this somebody grab my arm from behind, and I look, and I who's this fan in the Caleb Williams jersey? It was Mike Wilbon.
Oh, you're
from
kidding.
PTI.
Sure.
From PTI. So Mike Wilbon was there, big Bears fan. The Bears actually circulated a photo of him wearing the Caleb Williams jersey on their Instagram account. And Wilbon's a Bears fan. He's a Chicago guy.
Yeah,
so we talked a little bit. He also, his son goes to the same high school that Caleb Williams attended.
Gonzaga, right?
Yeah. So he was telling me about that and how Caleb FaceTimed with some of the students last week. And just a really fun good thing to see Mike in the elevator talking on the way down, known him for years. So anyway, we get down to the first level, the first stop. He's got to go, shake his hand. See you, Mike. Great to talk. All of a sudden, he walks off the elevator, and just as he walks off, he brushes aside. Jay Cutler walks on.
You're kidding me.
Jay Cutler walks on the elevator. Looks at, hey, Jay, how you doing, buddy? Shake hands. He's in a great mood. You know,
really?
he's with his family. All this stuff about Jay Cutler being surly, whatever. He was in a great mood.
Down to the locker room? Was he going down to the field?
He was going down to the Bears locker room.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who he was seeing. I didn't really, but we get off the elevator, you know where it is,
yeah.
And you get down the steps, you walk around the long hallway to the locker room, and I walk with Jay, talk with him, caught up. He knows the Tennessee team very well, as you
sure.
would expect, living in Nashville.
Yeah.
He had thoughts. He hasn't met Caleb Williams, but thoughts about Caleb Williams and what he's capable of doing. Still has very strong feelings about the Bears organization. Likes doing TV.
Was a Bears fan when he was a kid.
Totally. And so he's invested. You know, he was saying the same kinds of things we're talking about. You know, guy, that defense is great. And boy, that was a, you know, great special teams, blocked punt. And
yep.
Offense has got to be better. Doesn't know Shane Waldron that well. All the things that we talked about. But Jay Cutler being a football fan, approachable, really good to see Jay. And so we talked, shook hands, and said goodbye. But going down in the elevator, I got on the right elevator.
You getting him on?
Wilbon.
Did you book him?
I asked him about that. I said, how do you like doing TV? And we talked about it. I said, how'd you like to do some radio in Chicago? He laughed. I said, well, we could talk in the morning. How about tomorrow? He laughed.
Yeah.
I kind of got the shrug no.
Yeah, okay.
I kind of got laughed off there.
Laughed off.
I did, though, offer him, not offer him, I asked him if he would ever be interested in hosting a radio show in Chicago.
Oh, look at you.
Is he busy between 2 and 6?
Yeah, that was my thought. Wouldn't that be something? And he's like, I don't want to work that hard. Or something to that effect.
Now, I did see a picture on social media. You did not send out a picture of yourself.
No.
But I did see some pictures. He had a really cool, I'm asking if this was happening when you were with it, he had a really cool Bears vest on.
He did have a vest on.
He had a Bears logo.
Yeah.
That was really sharp.
Yeah. Jay's a sharp dressed man.
That is
I would imagine one of the reasons he's so happy is he knows whatever records he set are not under threat.
Well,
not by 3:30.
Not after yesterday. Yeah. Not after yesterday.
Yeah. I make it a joke.
Look, they got another one of those guys. Yeah, maybe that's why he's in such a good mood. He was in a very good mood. But the Bears won. A lot of people were in very good moods yesterday about 3:15. You could pick apart everything that went wrong, and we will. But you can also feel good about the fact that good teams win when they don't play at their best. And the Bears look like they're a good football team.
All right. We'll break it down. We'll pick it apart. We've got the pick six, all the stories of the weekend. We got a lot to go over there. Believe it or not, there was some baseball going on.
Oh,
and
brother,
it's of interest. We'll tear it all up and we'll talk it over and we'll do that next in the pick six. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Pick Six, sponsored by Affinity Whole Health. Do what I did. Visit FeelGreatIllinois.com to learn more about their testosterone therapy or their weight loss options. How bad was Caleb Williams' debut performance? Is it under question whether he can be an effective pocket passer in the NFL? Given the number of sacks, batted balls, and limited completions that he did manage, can you please compliment one aspect of his game that deserves crediting?
That's easy. I think the fact that he protected the football is the most important thing that happened. I mean, listen, you cannot take a 19-yard sack or whatever the length of that sack was. That was insane. I get it. You don't want him under pressure the whole time, but it seemed fairly obvious from what we saw in the preseason that what teams were going to do, try to keep him in the pocket and make him prove that he can be a pocket passer. That was sort of what they were going to do. And his best play of the game is when he got out of the pocket and he's sprinting to the right and he fires a ball to DJ Moore. We'll talk to DJ in a little bit, who made a spectacular catch on a really hard thrown, excellent pass on the run. That seems to be his skill. Problem is, everybody seems to understand that. So they're going to keep him in the pocket. They're going to make him prove that he can see over the offensive line and that he can complete passes and that he has enough height to be a pocket passer. He's got to get that part of it. He's just got to perform that element. And once he does, that will open up a lot of things for his game. But that is the way he is going to be defended. They're going to come after him. They got, you know, it's really interesting because we're sitting here talking about how bad the interior of their line is. You know, a week from now, we're going to be talking about how awful their tackles are because they got really good defensive ends that you're going to face down in Houston. And we'll get to that story. But, yeah, I think that Caleb still has much to prove. I think that this is almost like a tip. There's a reason that rookies, that whatever that statistic was, 0-14-1. And it's not just the team around them. I think they've improved the team around them, but they didn't improve that offensive line around him. So, I mean, I'll be nice about it and kind about it, but there is much to be learned and for him to prove in order for them to be successful, the Bears to be successful.
Well, a couple of the criticisms in the draft process were height. Yep. That was an issue. And the other one was that he holds on to the ball way too long. Two things that really stood out yesterday. I was surprised by the amount of batted balls. That actually, I was shocked by that. I really was, because that's not something you heard about at practice. I don't remember any Bears reporter telling us that his balls were being batted. I don't remember seeing that in the preseason games, that his balls were batted. And that was a big thing on Sunday. Now, the other thing is that he has gone out of his way to say that he wants to throw the ball more than running the ball himself. He did run the ball a couple. He may have to take off running more often if they're going to keep him in the pocket and leave a middle open for him.
He made a hell of a play was that in the fourth quarter
when he needed to. Yes. But yep, he might have to do that, you know, early and often, as we like to say. So those are some of the things. You know, his arm, he's got an electric arm. He might almost have too electric of the arm. Sometimes I thought it was hard for the receiver to catch the ball because he was putting so much velocity behind it.
Yeah, he was bad. It was a memorable day because it was his debut, but you wanted to forget it immediately. But he can't forget it because there's benefit in struggling like that. You always wonder about players. It's a cliche. How do you handle adversity? You'll learn a lot about Caleb Williams, about how he bounces back from this. And I think he will bounce back from this. I think two things can be true. You can agree that he was awful. And I think that the Bears need better from the quarterback position. Disappointing. And he disappointed a lot of people who had high expectations. It's got a long way to go. I also think you can still believe that he'll get there. He'll get there because of the way he handled it. The most impressive thing football-wise was that he protected the football and didn't create a turnover, didn't throw the ball. They were close, though. It was close, a couple passes. The other thing intangibly was that how he spoke about what he struggled with and how he understood what was wrong with his performance. There was no denial. There was nothing that said that he wasn't defensive. He invited the criticism and scrutiny and evaluation that he knows is going to be hard on him. He also compared it to one night in South Bend last October,
right,
where he struggled against that team in green and gold or blue and gold. He wouldn't say Notre Dame, Dustin. I know you probably appreciated that, but he struggled at Notre Dame when he was a USC quarterback. And that turned out to be the exception to the rule. And I think over time, his debut will be the exception to the rule. He'll get better. The batted passes was a surprise. His vision wasn't as clear and clean as I thought it would be, as we saw in preseason. I wondered about the role anxiety might have played. I asked Matt Eberflus about that after the game. They claimed that it wasn't an issue. But they have a long way to go before he is the kind of quarterback they expect him to be. But I do think he'll eventually get there.
These are the questions I cannot answer, right?
There's going to be questions we're going to have for Olin Krutz. That's going to be at 7 o'clock. What is your biggest concern regarding the Bears' offensive line? Why do you think Nate Davis and Ryan Bates were rotating in and out during the game? Did you feel Davis was benched at one point? Who needs replacing more, Davis or Coleman Shelton?
It's a good question. I think that this whole preseason leading through game one, the Bears have been trying to send a message to Nate Davis that you need to be better. And you don't rotate a veteran that you have guaranteed all that money to against his former team unless you're trying to send him a message that you need to be better immediately. I know Ryan Bates was injured in preseason. Now he comes back. But I don't think that you are doing your offensive line or your offense in general a service. I think you're doing it a disservice by rotating linemen. You've got to pick five and go with it. Maybe you can get away with it. It's not ideal, though. You could talk me into understanding why there's value in that, but I don't really think I'm wholeheartedly in favor of that. I think Coleman Shelton was way too obvious for a center. I look forward to seeing what Olin Krutz has to say at 7 o'clock about the job that Coleman Shelton did. I know what he did a lot of, and that was falling backward. That's not good for a center to be going in the opposite direction. You want to move the pile forward. You want to protect your quarterback. You can't just diagnose what the defensive line is doing and then get manhandled once you snap the ball. Bears offensive line came out of that game, I think, with the biggest number of problems from any position group, and they need to fix it pronto.
Well, this was the concern. As much of it, we talked about all the weapons that the Bears have added and Caleb Williams walking into a offense with all kinds of weapons. It's great to have weapons, but if you can't protect the quarterback and give the quarterback time to get to those weapons or block a little bit to take a little pressure off and run the damn ball. Here's the thing about the snaps, and I'd like to go back and I don't know if you can do this unless you watch it yourself. Maybe there's a somewhere out there that, okay, I noticed all of a sudden that Ryan Bates was in, and I sent you guys a text, and I said, Bates in, Davis benched. Then looking at the final box score, Nate Davis, 18 snaps, 18 of 56 snaps. Ryan Bates, 38 snaps. I did the math, public school educated. So I don't know that that's a rotation. That's not like one series and another series. I think Nate Davis played about the first 18 snaps of the game, and then he got benched, and Nate Davis came in. So, don't lie to me as a head coach.
That's not true, Dustin. I mean, I'm just telling you, they did a rotation.
Well, that's what I just said. I said I didn't notice a rotation because when I first noticed Ryan Bates, I noticed Ryan Bates the rest of the way.
Yeah, so they actually did, though. They brought Davis back, and then they brought Bates back. Because I was with you, I thought he got benched. And then I thought Bates got hurt or something. That's what I thought. And then he came back in. It was confusing until you found out from the post game that there was a rotation.
But 20 more snaps is quite a bit. It's a big difference for a rotation. And anyway, and this was another one of my big concerns going in. I mean, Shelton just got manhandled. Now, we talked pregame, and Mully, you brought it up in the first segment. Those guys inside for the Titans, really, really good. Yeah. And I can't wait to hear what Olin has to say at 7.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to tell you how good they are on the inside. And I'm not sure how many 400-pound defensive tackles that Shelton's going to face. But he also got steamrolled on a blitz where the guy ran literally over him.
Yeah.
And there was another play where he had no one to block. So he went to help out to triple team someone, and a guy on a delayed blitz ran right past him on his way to the
quarterback. Such a great observation. I wrote that one down too. I mean, just whiffed, Olaid.
Oh, I mean, you can't do that, man. You gotta, if think about football. If a guy is double teamed on your right, you stay and you wait and you protect your area. You don't jump in. Hey, let's all block him. because that's when they run past you and that's when you get in serious trouble. Listen, it was a bad performance by the offensive line, particularly the interior. Tevin Jenkins didn't have a good game.
Fumble recovery.
Okay, that was good. But that's a very tough line to face. It was really interesting because we talked in the pregame. Dan Pompey mentioned that the Titans were better on the line of scrimmage than the Bears. And my question was, well, how do you win a football game if you can't win the line of scrimmage? And he said 20 years ago, it's a good question, but things have changed to a point where you can now lose the line of scrimmage and win a football game. Is exactly what happened.
Bears did just that
over the course of that game.
And that's the big question.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs. That was Biggs time. 9 o'clock this morning. 9 for Biggs, 7 for Olin. Who was your most impressive defensive player for the Bears? And who was the most surprising? Or is that the same person? How much credit do you give Matt Eberflus for making adjustments at halftime and creating pressure in the second half of that ball game?
Well, I give Eberflus a ton of credit for that, because I thought that they were, frankly, I thought they were finished in the first half. They're down 17 points. Great. They get a field goal at the end of the game. And I just thought to myself, they're not going to be able to score against this team, and they're in a hole. And I did not see the Bears stopping them the rest of the way, because I felt like they were having serious problems, not just on the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, and I felt like they were blocked up pretty well in the first half of that game. That guy went to work, and he changed what they were doing, and they got a lot more pressure going, and all of a sudden they turned the tide in that game. And you know, even it, I'm not going to throw flowers at Shane Waldron, but at the end of the game, when they couldn't run, they started throwing the ball outside. They started doing some things to attack the outside, and that's how they burned a lot of time and helped themselves put that game away. So
long handoffs.
It is definitely the defense that won the game for them. They did a great job. The coach did a great job. You know, we don't talk about linebacker play. Edwards had 15 tackles, 2 for loss. That's a lot of work to get done in a football game, and I thought he did a very good job of it. Obviously, when your second defensive end, who didn't even start, winds up with 2 sacks, that's pretty special. DeMarcus Walker was the guy that was wrapping up the quarterback when he made that insane, and don't tell me he was trying to throw it out of bounds. He was trying to make a pass to the receiver like he was Brett Favre or something, and that led to the pick 6.
So impressive wise for Daryl Taylor. I mean, the guy's got a motor that just does not stop. So that was impressive. And it's not the same for surprising. And I know I kind of went off on a tangent about this last week about the captain. You know, Montez Sweat, there's only negative things that at least get pointed out in the game. You know, he had a bad offsides penalty. I think the series, you missed him, I guess. The series they scored the touchdown on when they were really running the ball in this down their throat, he was out in the tent getting looked at. He didn't do, and then when it was obvious passing situations, like, he was not the guy applying the pressure. So I was disappointed. I was disappointed in Sweat. And maybe they were giving him extra attention, but Taylor was awesome. Walker was really good. And again, TJ Edwards, a guy that just flying to the ball. I mean, he just is a tackling machine. The guy's excellent. I think he's now part of the afternoon show. He's going to be on Tuesday with those guys.
Matt Eberflus really made some adjustments at halftime, and you can give him credit directly because he is also the de facto defensive signal caller or defensive coordinator. So when he talks about the defensive changes at halftime, he and Eric Washington collaborated or whatever, but they made the right moves. They adjusted to how they stopped the run. The Titans were less than successful in the second half. Sure. And also how to get to Will Levis, because they kept coming with pressure. When you see how often Will Levis was pressured yesterday, you know that he spent the entire day out of rhythm, out of time. For a young quarterback like that, you just keep coming because you expect him to throw you the football. And guess what? He did. So Tyrique Stevenson would be the most impressive defensive player because he made the most impressive defensive play, the difference maker. When you score the game-winning touchdown on defense, you earn that right to be called the most impressive defensive player. Good for Tyrique Stevenson, who basically just caught the ball and ran, but he was in coverage. He was in the right place at the right time. Hard. It's impossible.
Gave up a touchdown earlier in the game and kind of made up for it.
Came back from that. Tell you what, Calvin Ridley's a good,
holy
outstanding
God.
Receiver. Yeah. It's still at this stage of his career, given what he has been through.
Yeah.
His career, he's a guy that was a good pickup for them. But Daryl Taylor, you can't be help but be impressed. They got him 2 weeks ago or so, and he's had two sacks and a strip sack fumble. TJ Edwards flying around. I thought the Bears were too easy to block at times. I think Tremaine Edmonds was Velcro a couple running plays. But Tyrique Stevenson, right place, right time. And really, that's how you recover from getting beat earlier in the game. You make the play of the game later.
That's a good question.
DJ Moore, 8 o'clock with Mully and Haw. Based on week one results, how do you view the NFC North division now? How much did the Bears' performance factor into this thinking?
Well, I have to say the Bears did what they needed to do. They held serve and they survived in advance, if you will, because that's what you're looking at. You're looking at trying to just not do anything to make your season outlook any different. And as we sit here this morning on a Bears Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority, the Bears outlook looks the same as it did before the game. They've got a shot. Legitimate playoff contenders. Meanwhile, in Green Bay, they're worried. They're worried.
They should be.
As they should be. You have your starting quarterback with an MCL problem. His next 4 to 6 weeks, your next month is uncertain. Your season is up for grabs. The Titans may have gotten rid of the wrong quarterback, but we'll see what Malik Willis is made of. The Packers have problems. The Lions, they're for real. Anybody that stayed up and watched David Montgomery, will that team to a victory in overtime, has to be impressed by what the Lions have to offer. You don't have to be that aspirational as a Bears fan. You can finish second and still feel very good about where you are in that division. Oh, but by the way, you might want to notice, Sam Darnold, nobody told him he was done. Nobody told him that he was irrelevant and discarded and left for nothing, because he completed his first 12 passes. He's in an offense that really plays to his strengths, and he's got Justin Jefferson on his side. Vikings beat the Giants, so you don't want to ignore that either. But I think the Bears have to feel very good about where they are in the division. You don't like bad things to happen to teams, but the Packers, they're in trouble.
All right, before you make Skull Viking your ringtone, David, they were playing the Giants, okay? So let's just keep that in mind. Let's see, week one overreaction. Let's see what
Skull
week two.
Viking.
I mean, but listen, they won, and that's the name of the game. They won the game. That knee injury looked awful. It looked like both sides of his knees popped. They had some stuff on social media zoomed in, and it was like, pop, pop, back and forth. I mean, I don't think he plays for 4 weeks, if again. I mean, it looked really... They're also interested in Ryan Tannehill, the Packers.
They should be.
Right? So, I mean, if you're doing that kind of shopping... And, you know, the thing about the Lions, okay, they won the game, but they were at home. They're a Super Bowl... They're a team
Rams pretty good, buddy. Rams are good.
Well, that might be the other part of this. Like, is that a potential, like, NFC championship game... matchup.
Matthew Stafford was cooking. He was looking very, very strong.
And they did that without Puka. He got out early with an injury. So, listen, Bears are tied for first place. 0-1. What could be better?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest takeaway from the division is that Jordan Love got hurt, and they're saying it's 3 to 6 weeks, and they like the quarterbacks they have, and they're going to coach them up, and they're not going to sign anybody else off the street. That's what they say. 3 to 6 weeks, man. It doesn't take that long to figure out that you're in serious trouble. And I think they're in serious trouble. And the sad reality is, we talked about this before the season began, that one of those two teams, be it Detroit or the Green Bay Packers, something bad had to happen. We actually had that conversation. You need one of those things. And you don't cheer for injury, and you want to beat guys straight up and all that stuff. But if they can fall into a little bit of a hole here, That's huge for the Bears.
Changes the way you look at it.
It changes the way you look at it. It changes your season. You know, go back and look. There's a statistic out there. When you start the season 0-2, you are in serious trouble. You got to, unless you got Emmitt Smith and he's holding out and then he's going to come back and you're going to win the Super Bowl, I think it's a problem. You got a serious problem starting 0-2. And there are some teams out there. I wonder what Atlanta feels like now because they lost a game and now they got to play in at Philly, not nationally televised game at night. That's not a really good follow-up to what was going on in your opener. So I just think the Packers are in a little bit of trouble here, and I think it's a glorious and wondrous thing to witness. And you're right, David. I thought I was surprised by Minnesota. They played very well, and they won. And, of course, Detroit wins in overtime against a good team. It was interesting.
It's an interesting question, I think.
Are the Cubs still alive after losing a series to the Yankees? Will they remain so if they lose the series at the Dodgers? Why are they struggling to score even in yesterday's 2-1 loss?
Boy, that's the same old, isn't it? They score two runs in the series. You're not going to win a lot of series when you score two runs, but it's almost a miracle they won a game with two runs in three games. But look, we knew that the Yankees were good. We knew there was a chance they could lose the series, and now they got the Dodgers, and the same problem exists. So are they done? No, they're not done. Where there is life, there is hope. But they look like they're pretty much on gas. It doesn't look very good. The offense is so weird. They had this explosion of runs in these series, and I know they didn't play great teams, but they had there were a couple of good pitchers in there, and they scored a ton of runs. And then they come home, and they struggle to score runs. It's weird. It's just really weird that you come home and you have these problems. Maybe going back on the road, maybe they'll get 70 runs against the Dodgers.
And maybe not, right? I mean, there's an unbelievable pitching matchup on Tuesday night. We'll talk about that more later in the week, the Dodgers and Cubs. But, you know, 9-10 start, so I don't know how much Cubs baseball will be seen live anyway over the next couple of days, if at all. You know, I can answer it like Craig Counsell. That's baseball. You need a superstar in the middle of the lineup. But the Yankees didn't exactly dominate other than winning two of the three games. I mean, you know, they're sluggers. They're two great guys. 3-for-19 combined in three games. Cubs scored two runs.
Cut them.
And somehow managed.
Bench them.
No, we're going to talk about cutting people in a second. You could have easily won that series if you had any kind of offense at all. Because the Cubs pitching was pretty solid against that formidable Yankee lineup.
But this is what a World Series contender looks like.
They look the part.
Sluggers have off weekends, and their pitching carries the day. That's how you win. That's why they're in the midst of a race in the AL East. That's why they're going to be likely playing deep into October. The Cubs beat Gerrit Cole, but they lost the other two games. Are you kidding me? So two runs in three games isn't going to cut it, especially on a weekend where, hey, Cub fans, you turned out the Bears opener. I was wrong. I thought there'd be 30,000 people or less yesterday. That crowded 39,000 for the Cubs Hall of Fame induction with Kerry Wood and Aramis Ramirez. It was a great weekend at Wrigley Field. The baseball didn't back up the enthusiasm, and it wasn't warranted. The Yankees are who they are. Great tribute to Anthony Rizzo. Great to see Riz back in town. He handled that like you would expect him to. He said all the right things. That was a very special weekend. The Cubs, five games out with 19 to play. They're done.
That's just baseball, unfortunately.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
Do we really have to do this one? How in the world can Notre Dame be ranked ahead of Northern Illinois after the Huskies beat the Irish in South Bend on Saturday? Speaking of that monumental victory, how could Notre Dame let that happen?
It's a great question. They're asking all over South Bend and all over Notre Dame bars and living rooms across America, what is Marcus Freeman doing? What was he thinking? Why were they unprepared? Also, give Carrick credit. I mean, that you can focus on that if you're a Notre Dame fan. If you're a college football fan, certainly a son of the Mid-American Conference, you are looking at Thomas Hammack with a lot of respect and admiration. Great coaching job. The moment of those young men's lives from a football perspective was experienced on Saturday in South Bend. Northern Illinois did everything right. They seized the day. They celebrated like they knew it was going to be the highlight of their football careers. That was the biggest victory in Northern Illinois history. Good for them. I don't know why Notre Dame is still in the top 25. They certainly didn't play like a team that deserved to be ranked 18th. They plummeted, though. From 5 to 18 is quite a fall. I'm focused on Northern Illinois being 25th. Back in the top 25. They deserve all of that. I can't wait to talk to Thomas Hammock tomorrow on the program. They deserve all the attention they're going to receive.
8:25, Thomas Hammock will join you guys on Tuesday. 8:25, Thomas Hammock. Scooby-Dooby-Doo, NIU, with the upset of the year at the very least. Remember the scene in the movie Rudy where the players go into the coach's office and they give the jersey to the coach and say, let Rudy take my spot?
Yeah.
Here's what should have happened after the game.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Marcus Freeman should have taken the three-quarter zip off,
yeah,
and he should have walked into the athletic director of the priest's office and he should have handed him the three-quarter zip and he should have walked away into the night. That should have been the end.
Or a priest's office. Yeah.
That should have been the end of it.
Here you go.
How about the confessional?
Yeah.
There aren't enough Hail Marys he can do between now and next Saturday to make it up.
From a football perspective, what were they thinking with Riley Leonard? I know it's only two games, and you're not supposed to criticize college players. He's a professional quarterback, though. He makes $2 million.
He is?
Well, he's paid like one.
NIU made $1.4 million to go in and beat Notre Dame. How about that?
That's what I was going to say. Not only did you lose to him, you paid him to come and beat you. Look, God bless Northern Illinois. I know a lot of people who went there. I got a lot of friends. I had some fun going up there when I was in school. And it's great. I mean, it's wonderful to have that moment. But honest to God, Marcus Freeman, whatever you want to say about the guy, they were a 28-point favorite in that game, okay? If you had bet $100 straight up on that team, you'd have won $1,800. That's how ridiculous it was to lose that game. It's mind-boggling to me that you can go to Texas A&M, you can be as composed as they were, and you can win a football game in that environment, and then you can come home and apparently not prepare for what is a classic college trap game.
Classic.
If ever there was a moment, you've got to be able to get through to your guys that, hey, we may be ranked high, but they're going to play the game of their lives. This is their oh, my God, I could give you the speech. I could write it down for you. And I'm not saying he didn't make that attempt, but I'm guessing that in his heart he felt exactly as they played. Like, this is just a
flat, listless. They ignored.
Unbelievable.
This was NIU's playoff game. This was their college football national championship game. They treated it like that. Notre Dame shrugged. They shrugged.
Atlas shrugged.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo, NIU.
What the hell is that? That's not a thing.
Yes, it is a thing.
Is it?
My aunt graduated from there.
Come on, Shaggy.
I got a,
really?
They're part of one of my five. I've got a college credit from NIU, too.
That's a 1940s cheer? Is that what you're telling me?
My aunt's not that old.
Hit him in the knee.
I don't think they had Scooby-Doo.
I had like a sweatshirt when I was a kid of like an NI that it's a dog. It's a husky, right?
Yeah, it's a
and
husky.
I think the sweatshirt said Scooby Dooby Doo NIU.
Wow.
You're beautiful.
It's awesome.
That's beautiful. I didn't know that. So
chant it proudly this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was trying to reach my Australian aunt who was on a cruise and she didn't have Wi-Fi on the boat, so I couldn't reach her to let her know that the upset of the century had just happened.
That was very noble of you, given your state of mind after Notre Dame
choked. The fact that I had to send that email out, you know how hard it was to send? You know how many text messages I got?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
My phone was just, and my basic answer was, there aren't enough McUltras.
Oh, so awesome. You know, I'm on one of those text lines, right, with my brothers who both went to Notre Dame and two of our friends who went to Northern Illinois were roommates there, and it was so much fun.
Oh, that's fun.
Just the back and forth, and my eldest brother, who takes this stuff serious as a heart attack, is about done with getting all these kind of things that are out there, anything that was remotely kind of insulting was sent to him.
The meme with Rudy in an NIU jacket.
All right, we got the extra point. It's a great one. We'll be right back, Molly and Haw, the score.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo, NIU.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Who were the Bears' stars of their season opening 24-17 win over the Titans? Can you believe they managed to come back from down 17-0? Could they have done that a year ago?
I don't think so. I think that good teams win games like this, and the Bears are a good team. 17-0 says a lot about their football character. It says a lot about the things that Matt Eberflus cited after the game at halftime. They made some adjustments schematically to stop the run better in the second half and certainly to confuse Will Levis, who was bad and as bad as the Bears needed him to be. But I think overall what you heard from Matt Eberflus was that you had a locker room full of confident guys who looked at each other and they said, we got this. A year ago, even he said they wouldn't have responded that way. Even he said he's been part of teams that would have been complaining and arguing and grousing at halftime rather than unifying and coming together. That's encouraging. The Bears are a team with high football character. The beauty of this victory was that with the question asked, who were the Bears' stars? The stars of the show, the stars, the players you would consider stars on the Bears really aren't the guys who you would be, you would say are the answer to this question. Daniel Hardy and Jonathan Owens combining on a blocked punt for a touchdown that changed the game. They starred in this game. Cairo Santos, you don't really talk about kickers as stars. A 48 and a 50-yarder. in a game that they needed those points badly when the offense didn't produce a touchdown. He's a star of this game. Daryl Taylor got here 5 minutes ago, a guy who's all energy, doesn't have necessarily the whole playbook mastered yet. What do you need? See ball, get ball. There's the quarterback. Sack him. Easy job description. He's a star of this game. Andrew Billings. Andrew Billings in the middle of that pile, in the middle of that defense, played, I think, didn't watch it a second time, looked like he had a phenomenal game.
Everywhere. So, he played ever. I think he played like three technique at one point. He played a defensive end.
He was at every spot on the line of scrimmage.
He really was.
So the stars are guys who aren't typically referred to as stars, and that's how you have – that's how you have victories like yesterday, and that's how you have good depth, and that's a credit. That was a roster victory. That was a Ryan Poles victory.
That was a Matt Eberflus victory. And Ryan Poles, I'll give second star to. But that, to the star of the game, Matt Eberflus, keeping that team together with the Boo Birds out as they walked off the field at halftime down 17-3, and keeping that team focused, getting the ball to start the second half and still not doing anything with it, and the defense not hanging their heads and keeping after it and keeping it. To me, that's a Matt Eberflus win. To answer the question, could they have done that a year ago? In the second half, I think so. But it took Matt Eberflus taking control of that defense, like many guys do nowadays. Coaches all over the league, whichever side of the ball they're on, they are also running that side of the ball on game day. So to me, Matt Eberflus, the star of Sunday.
Yeah, it's fair to say, Dustin, he did a phenomenal job of adjusting. And, you know, how many years have we gone talking about the Bears failing to adjust? We're usually referring to offensive issues. But he made a great adjustment on defense, and they got so much better in the second half. They won the game because their defensive line really stood up in the second half and made some great plays. And their special teams were phenomenal in that game. Don't forget the punter that they drafted in the fourth round. That guy's a weapon. I mean, they got a lot out of that game. I think that the Velus Jones comedic Keystone Cops play, whatever the hell you want to call it, that was really the only bad moment on special teams. They did a hell of a job with a lot of their special teams. And there were guys on special teams, the backup running back, that really kind of looked like they were in competition to make plays. That's how you know you're good, when you got multiple guys trying to get to the ball and make a play, and they had that happen for them on special teams. So they won the game on special teams and on defense. And it was kind of fun to see them come back and do it that way. You would like the offense to get involved. They wouldn't have done it a year ago. I don't think they'd have won that game, and I think that this next game coming up is going to be difficult, so they would have put themselves in a pretty big hole. And the fact that they managed to win without getting anything out of their offense, you would hope they go to school on that and change that for next week. And I do believe the quarterback will improve as the year goes on. But there's a lot of things to work on. You've got to see them become a competitive team over the course of 1 week here. And teams do make that jump.
Shane Waldron can help, too. They didn't move the pocket as much with misdirection did in the preseason. It felt like offensively this was their fifth preseason game.
All right. We've got to get to a break. And it's tons of fun to talk about this. We're going to talk about it all morning. We're going to get to all of your phone calls, 312-644-6767. It's Mullion Hall on the Score.
How much his struggle was related to maybe anxiety from his first NFL game?
I don't think there was any anxiety. He was calm, cool, and collected the whole time. Never got frustrated. I always talked to him about the response that you have. Just hanging in there, because sometimes it can get rough on both sides. You know, it can get rough. You just got to hang in there, and you got to have that belief in the man next to you, belief in your teammates. It's not just about one guy, and that's what I saw at halftime, and they exhibited that in the second half.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mr. David questioning Matt Eberflus after hearing a certain quarterback tell him in the preseason that he doesn't feel nerves.
I was curious.
Is it anxiety?
Fair question.
I think...
Opener? He looked a little tight.
Olin was once asked a question about anxiety. We'll get to him in a little bit. And he had a very funny response to it. So you do feel anxiety. I don't know how you don't. It's definitely real. And I think when things start to go awry or don't go as planned, that I don't care
start
who
to
you
press.
Are. You, no, yeah. Shadow it out.
You maybe grip the ball a little tighter.
Everything maybe
feels
throw
a little
it
bit,
a little harder.
Yes.
I mean, who knows?
Who knows?
Maybe it sails a little bit on you. Maybe it's too low. Maybe the ball bounces to someone. These things happen.
On your tippy toes, please.
All right, we got a lot of calls to get to. We're going to start with Andy. Andy's on the road. Hey, Andy.
Morning, guys. Boy, what a thrilling victory. I got to admit, I mean, at the beginning there, 17-0, I thought, no way. And for them to come back is fantastic. Just a couple of observations, though. You know, obviously probably not the kind of game that Caleb wanted or a lot of people expected, but I think a lot of that had to do with the offensive line, which was really pretty porous for a lot of that game. I think the number one stat for Caleb, though, you know, even though it wasn't great, was zero turnovers. So, you know, I mean, in his first game, didn't turn the ball over, and I saw a tweet from your guy Dan Weeder this morning. It seemed like kind of Nostradamus, who predicted, he said, Caleb's going to learn a very valuable lesson that you don't have to be great for this team to win. The Bears are going to have three turnovers, and Jalen Johnson's going to have a pick, and they're going to win. And, boy, that turned out to be a great pick. But I think they really got to work on cleaning up that offensive line if they're going to have more success on offense.
Good phone call.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Andy. Let's get to Kevin. Kevin's in Palatine. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I won't make a comment about Caleb yet. You can't do that. It's one game.
Right.
Where you can make comments is the kick returner they forced back on this team with that high school level. I mean, that is insane. So we had to have that guy back on the team, and he almost cost us yesterday. But I want to talk about the center because, guys, you know, I've been complaining for 6 months about the Cubs' neglect in the offseason of things we knew were an issue. The center, and I just want you to ask Olin, is there, and I understand Jeffrey Simmons is an absolute beast, but Tom Brady and Peyton Manning both said they hated nothing more than pressure up the middle. Quarterbacks hate that. So why would you draft a quarterback and then not protect him right up the middle? This guy can't defend himself. It wasn't just Simmons. Mully, you saw when he went to be the third man in trying to block Simmons, I was like,
yep.
Really?
Yeah.
And then the other one, he got run over by a linebacker, not pushed backwards. He was on his back. Like, at one point, you just look, is he, like, doing this on – it's just crazy. He can't defend himself. Ask Olin, is there anything he can do? Because I don't blame a lot of this on Caleb. He was very inaccurate, but, God, he was running for his life the second the ball was snapped. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
good
Kevin.
Points, Kevin. Couple things. I don't think the Bears neglected the center position. They did get Coleman Shelton, and they did get Ryan Bates. I think they were caught – in kind of a conundrum, Mully, because they planned on Ryan Bates being healthy and establishing a rapport with the quarterback, maybe playing him at center. When he got injured, it changed their plans. The longer Shelton snapped, the longer he solidified himself, and they were maybe stuck.
And I agree with you completely, but the problem is that they were going to have to Cody Whitehair Ryan Bates.
Ideal either.
So they were converting a guy into a center because they saw certain traits in him, and can he play center? I think he could come in for Nate Davis right now.
Fair enough.
I don't think he can come in for Coleman Shelton, who a texter says played like Blake Shelton.
Blake Shelton, good singer, bad center. I think that when you look at what they tried to do, though,
was they
did throw money at the position with Bates, ideally, but I just don't think they drafted a center like a lot of people wanted him to. Maybe that's Kevin's alluding to.
That's what he's saying. And I think that, you know, they got Coleman Shelton as cover, and now you have to use him. And it's
he looks like he's overmatched. He did start 17 games for the Rams last year. Yeah. This looks like a guy needs to improve quickly.
But he's not going to face a lot of guys that are defensive tackles of the caliber of the two guys that they face.
Sweat. And Simmons,
Devontae Sweat,
were a load.
He's listed 366.
That was before lunch.
Come on.
That's a lot.
That guy's like a 400-pounder, man.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, the hardest thing to do is to get your pads low enough to get underneath a guy like that and decide you're going to move him. Hey, you're a grown man.
You can decide all you want.
Well,
being able to do it and pull it off is another thing.
It's insanity. We've got Olin Krutz next. We'll ask Olin. We love centers from Washington, even if they don't have great games. We certainly love Olin. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.